A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit SmileGeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Hey, welcome to our podcast. It's Bustin' Balls. I'm Pat Caputo, along with the webmaster, Evan Jenkins. And we've got the NHL draft coming up on Thursday night, Evan. We talked quite a bit about it throughout the year. It's one of those things where, oh, it's finally here. And when we look at the Red Wings and where they're possibly going with the draft, one of the things that Steve Yzerman's done that's been pretty impressive, at least so far, is draft well. I mean, when you're talking about, hey, you got Moritz Seider won the Calder Trophy, and then you've got Lucas Raymond finishing fourth in that, and he's only 19 years old. That is pretty good drafting right out of the gate. So that's a fourth overall for Raymond, sixth overall for Seider, and those are two building block pieces for the future. And the rest of his drafts have been going pretty well when you look at the number of players that are in the pipeline. William Wallander, who was taken a little bit later in the draft, he was the best defenseman in his league in Sweden. Cross Hannes played very well in the Western Hockey League this year, a center. You have a situation where Sabrango played regularly at Grand Rapids. He's very young. He was taken by Yzerman. So you look down the pipeline, you got a goalie in Kosa, whose team went to the Memorial Cup, and he played well. And you have player after player after player that's in this pipeline. Soderberg is a player who is 6'7" and scored all these goals in the bigger Swedish league. And he was taken 159th in the draft. So Yzerman's first drafts have made Ken Holland's final drafts not look so good, at least so far. And it looks like Steve Yzerman's got a pretty good touch with this. The Red Wings are picking eighth overall with all these players in the pipeline. Free agency is in a situation where they might want to sign a player or two. So we look at the bigger picture of it before we look at the draft. But there's a couple things that are obvious about this, Evan. They're not going to take a goalie because goalies don't get taken at eighth overall in the draft very often. They just took one 15th overall last year in Sebastian Kosa. And they've got Bednar, who they like. It was a sixth-round pick a few years ago. Another big goalie like that. And they'll sign a goalie in free agency to join Dvalkovic. That's what they'll do. They've got defensemen, not a lot of defensemen, and they're not going to pass on a premier defenseman if a premier defenseman falls to them. But they do have Edvinson coming in, Simon Edvinson, who was last year's first-round draft pick, who played very well in the big league in Sweden, was outstanding for the abbreviated World Junior Championships, which were shut down because of COVID. But he was brilliant before that. He's an outstanding player. And they do have forwards, in their pipeline. Yeah, when you look, you see Verano's in the big club. They've got Bertuzzi on the big club. They've are in a situation with in the minor league. They got Berggren and a couple other players that can play wing, you know, coming up. But they don't have centers. The only one that's in the pipeline that seems to be there is Hannes, and he's not ready for the NHL in the next year or two. But they have to build some strength through center ice. And this is a draft that has center icemen. So if you're in a situation like that, logic dictates that they would take a center. And when we talked about this earlier, the name that I mentioned was Marco Kasper. And the reason, Evan, I mentioned Marco Kasper is he fits every MO of what Steve Yzerman's done with Detroit so far. Moritz Seider was from Germany, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Moritz Seider. And Germany plays in the world tournaments, the junior level world championships, but they never compete at the highest level because they don't have depth. Or, you know, they've developed some great players like Dreisaitl and Stützle and now Seider, but they don't have the depth that these other countries do. He didn't hesitate to take him, but he liked it. It seemed that he played in the big man's league in that level, even though it's not as tough as these other countries. And he drafted him, had no hesitation of taking him when he was projected by the scouting services and a lot of the draft gurus, 14th, 15th. He didn't hesitate to take him. When you're dealing in this situation, you're talking about a player in Marco Kasper, who's like rated 14th or 15th, doesn't play for Germany, but he plays for Austria,
okay,
internationally. A similar type program. Marco Rossi came out of there a couple years ago, was taken early in the draft, and actually has made some progress after a slow start with some COVID issues and all that. And this kid's played well on the world stage. The one advantage is they get a lot of ice time. The other advantage is with him and Kasper is that he played in Sweden. He played in the big league. He played for the same team, Rogel, I believe that's how you pronounce it. I probably mispronounced it, that Seider played on. And it's that team is an outstanding team. It's a team that contends. And this kid, Marco Kasper, did very well for them in the playoffs. So when I look at him, and I'm not the only one that's putting two and two together here. You know, they scout that league so well. They've got Anderson over there. And this kid is big, and he moves well. You know, the one knock on him is he doesn't finish that well. But that isn't something that I really noticed. It's different playing against men, you know, than playing in the O or the Western Hockey League or the Q, these junior hockey leagues where they're doing that.
Now, is he something that's similar to Seider and Raymond where they're a year or two away from being with the big club from what you see just from tape and the games that you've watched? Because I kind of feel that Raymond and Seider were more on the minority of making it to the big club so fast, but that might have also been a benefit of the Red Wings lacking talent and depth. Where do you see a kid like this could play in the big club in a year or two?
Well, I think he's more advanced than other players because he's played in the Swedish Hockey League. He's played on one of the better teams. He's played in the playoffs. And even over there on the bigger ice surface, it tightens up. And he seems to play better when he gets up against the better competition.
Okay. Are there any kids like...
So what I'm saying about him is I'm not the only one. Okay, I was put two and two together. I've heard a couple different mock drafts that actually put Kasper in there, which surprised me. But I guess when you look at it, it shouldn't surprise you. But you're comparing him to a kid like Matthew Savoy. All right, say Matthew Savoy is there. He is a very good, somewhat outstanding player, really. Played for arguably the most talented junior team in the country in Winnipeg. I know they didn't. They lost to Kosa, actually, to get to the Memorial Cup. But this kid, man, he's, you know, 5'10", 180 pounds, but he's really skilled. And if he's there, you know, what do? You take him or you take Kasper? Now, if you put Marco Kasper in the WHL, I'm pretty sure that he would be pretty dominant player. And if you put Savoy over playing in Sweden, I don't know if he would be nearly as formidable. And that's kind of the judgment that has to come down to this with the players when you're talking about junior players. You know, who's played against who and who can compete against the league. Casper would not be a player that would play for the Red Wings next year, if you, to answer your question. But Raymond had a year, and so did Sider. So Sider actually had a couple years. 1 year he played in Grand Rapids. The next year he played for that team that Casper's playing on, Rogel.
Okay.
So it's, you know, to me it's always 2 or 3 years away. This draft is a draft with one guy that I think is going to play in the league next year. One. I don't see a number of players coming into this out of this draft playing in the league. There's no Connor McDavid. There's no seminal talent in this draft.
Okay.
Shane Wright played for Kingston in the O. He's a guy that I think will play. If Montreal drafts him, I think he'll be on their big club in the fall. I think he's the only one. But I don't think that necessarily, Evan, he should be the number one overall pick in the draft. If I had that pick, there's no way that I would take him in that draft. I would look in a different direction, not because Wright isn't really good. He is. But he's more of a, like, at a talent level. He's a little bit different type of player. As Nico Hischier, who was taken first overall a few years ago. That would be a player that, you know, if I'm looking at that pick and I'm looking at Shane Wright and I'm saying, okay, what is the ceiling going to be like when these guys are 22 or 23 years old? And I would look in a different direction with that. And that's the truth of the draft. So, and again, it gets down to who's played against who and who's played where and how it'll translate into the NHL as they come down to this circumstance where everybody's trying to figure out exactly who should go where. So it comes down to having a situation where you look. We talked about Connor Geeky. I know you loved his name. He was his teammate of Savoy with Winnipeg. That's a pretty good center ice combo. But he's a big power forward type of center. I'm not so impressed with his skating watching him, but a lot of people really love him and think he could go easily in the top 10. I just don't see the Red Wings taking a Savoy or taking a Connor Geeky, somebody from the Western League, in that spot. And those two guys are both really, really good players who are getting a lot of play. And, you know, as far as a couple of the U.S. developmental players, Connor Gauthier is somebody that's got a really, really good shot. And he's positioned out at left wing. And he's one of those guys that, you know, the Red Wings need goal scorers.
Yeah.
And it's not like they're loaded on the wing. So they could take somebody like that. I don't see any of the premier defensemen in this draft falling to the Red Wings. That I don't see. I don't see a situation where they're in a spot where they can get a defenseman that would be like they got with Edmondson and like they got with Moritz Seider here in recent years. I think the defensemen who would fall into that similar category are all going to be gone by the time the Red Wings pick. Lilichek is one of them. I don't think he's going to be there when the Red Wings pick. But they can use defensemen, and it'll be interesting to see how they end up playing that. But if they take a defenseman and he's a right-handed shot, or they sign a right-handed shot defenseman during free agency, could be Jeff Petrie if they were able to do something like that. He's 31, but he's a little older. But you might see Philippe Peronic traded then, because then they would have a lot of depth with right-handed shooting defensemen, which is a rarity in the NHL. If you got a right-handed shooting defenseman, they're like gold.
When did that happen, Pat? Like, growing up, I mean, everybody was predominantly right-handed, pretty much. When in hockey, is that a thing? Has it always been going on where the right-handed shot was essentially a lefty reliever in baseball? Is that how it's always been?
Yes.
Okay. Because it always throws me for such a loop being a predominantly right-handed person. But it does seem like so many more people shoot left-handed while playing hockey. Blows
yeah.
My mind.
Yeah. I don't know why that is. I think the last time I explained to you the dominant eye.
Yeah.
And I showed you that, and you kind of like, yeah, that's how it works. And I don't know if that's the case. I think that's why people hit left-handed, or they'll kick left-footed.
Okay.
But it never explains why somebody throws left-handed or shoots left-handed necessarily with a basketball. But in hockey, it definitely, you know, might be one of the reasons why. Did you ever see how many people golf left-handed? It seems like nobody.
Well, that's my point. It seems like every sport, every position or whatever is dominated by a righty. But then when you see a lefty, you're like, oh, okay, especially basketball, baseball, how important they are.
Yeah, but baseball, it seems like there's, and I know there's more right-handed hitters.
Yeah.
But it seems like there's more left-handed hitters than the average population of left-handers. Like, you know, I batted left-handed. I kicked left-footed. You know, things. I pick up a guitar left-handed. I shoot the hockey puck left-handed. But I write right-handed, throw right-handed, shoot a basketball right-handed. And I golf right-handed because my dad said, oh, you can't golf left-handed. Nobody golfs left-handed. So that's just, you know.
Unless you're Phil Mickelson, who was right-handed and decided to learn how to play left-handed.
Yeah, but Phil Mickelson, you know, to me is kind of an anomaly in a number of different ways. And maybe that explains some of the lefty yeah. the lefty image that he's carrying. So
Pat, when we talk about these centers, and how important is size? You know, some guys I'm seeing are 5'8", 160 pounds, but then I see a guy that's 6'2", 200 pounds. For me, being a novice hockey fan and knowing what I know, I would always go with size, right? Or is that overrated in hockey? Because when you're on ice, size kind of evens itself
up. Well, I think it's overrated based on the way the game is now.
Okay.
Because I think for a long time, in hockey, size mattered a lot because you had to create room on the ice. You're skating over the neutral zone, you know, people could hook you and grab you and do all kinds of things. Now those things are penalties. And so it's created more of a game for a smaller dynamic player. And there's always been smaller dynamic players, Martin St. Louis, and you go back in the day, all the players are small.
Pavel Datsyuk was a little guy.
Yeah, but he was really strong and exceptionally skilled. But now you got Johnny Gaudreau and a number of players that can score. So, but there's still, I think if a player's short, there's still a certain amount of prejudice, I think, toward him in certain situations. And I think sometimes that is not fair to the player. So if you look at who is in these spots where you're looking at, sometimes you might want to take somebody that isn't necessarily tall. But if somebody's under 5'11",
yeah,
that's where the mark comes off. It's like you don't take them in the top 10. I have no idea why there's that type of prejudice toward players, but this draft will be interesting from the standpoint of, hey, you look at somebody who is smaller, like the defenseman at Michigan, or in the developmental program, Lane Hutson. Mm-hmm. I mean, this kid's like 5'8 and 150 pounds soaking wet. He plays defense.
Right.
And I don't know what he's listed at, but he is really small, but he's exceptional puck mover. So why wouldn't you want to give him a chance? And now you're seeing more defensemen who are given that chance and end up being, you know, actually pretty good NHL players. So.
Well, like one guy that always stuck out to me was Cal Makar for Colorado, and he was at the developmental team, and he was just a little fella out there, but they list him at
5'11". No, you're thinking of Quinn Hughes.
Is that it?
Yeah.
What about Makar? He's a little guy.
No, he's not a little guy.
5'11", 180?
Yeah, that's not little. I mean, that's probably why somebody that skilled fell that far in the draft, because you want a defenseman who's like Moritz Seider size and Victor Hedman size, you know, in an ideal world.
Sure.
And who can skate like the wind and has great puck developmental skills. So that's it. But there's one player in particular that I really, really like, in this draft. And he's somebody that, could be a really good player. And he plays for the developmental program. And he's somebody that, you know, because he's 5'10", people are like, hey, you know what? This guy's really not that good. It's a player named Isaac Howard. All right. He's an American kid from, obviously, he plays the U.S. developmental program from Wisconsin. And watching the developmental program this year, yeah, obviously, Logan Cooley is going to go in the top. I think he's going to go in the top three, you know, for sure. I think he's going to be the third pick in the draft. But he is, to me, I thought he was the player that impressed me the most. And there's this knock on him because he's small. He's like 5'10", 183 pounds. So I don't know why they think he's so small, where some of these other players, they don't. But he's a guy who can put the puck in the net. And if to me there's a sleeper in that draft, and I don't know where he's going to fit for the Red Wings, because he'll be taken, I think, between where the Red Wings have their first pick at 8 and their second pick at 40. But if he's there at number 40, man, I would hop on that guy in 2 seconds for sure.
What about Jimmy Snuggerud? Is that how you say it? Jimmy Snuggerud? He's a right winger that was with the USA developmental team too, and they list him at 6'1", 188. Is that another guy that could maybe be on their radar?
Well, he's a guy that came on real fast this year.
Okay.
And, you know, kind of came on the radar a little bit late. And another guy with the ability to shoot the puck. And he's somebody that teams, you know, are starting to look at. But I don't see him being drafted by the Wings.
Okay. Are there any trends? Like, we've talked, you know, with the Lions trends. You saw the Pac-12 with the Pistons. It seemed like you had a very good sense of what they were going to do on a previous episode of Bustin' Balls. But are there any trends from what you've seen in Steve Yzerman that maybe the average Joe isn't seeing out there to lend towards what Yzerman could be doing, or what Draper's out there looking at, or anything in between?
I don't know if they've got some kind of basic draft philosophy.
Like in the new coach, Lalonde, he's not, it sounded like from listening to him on Stoney and Jansen this morning, that he's not going to have any input, and he understands that basically management manages, coaches coach, players play, and it seems like he goes with that philosophy. Or do you think there might be somebody on his radar that he might say to Mr. Yzerman, hey, I really like this kid?
You know, I think the only player, look, the NHL coaches got to watch the league.
Yeah.
So they got to look for players, and you've got front offices. It's like this in all sports. You got separation between those who scout the pro guys and those who scout the amateurs. And in hockey, the draft takes these guys all over the world. So there's a lot of time spent in rinks that are very cold, where the Tim Hortons coffee is very hot. And they're sitting there watching some games. And if you've ever been to a junior hockey game, it's special. You know, in Canada, you know, it's like everything. And I think sometimes, and this is why I think maybe, you know, somebody like Marco Casper could, you know, end up being the Red Wings picks. There's some other guys, Euro, is that the Canadian press spends a lot of time seeing these guys. And it's a little more difficult to see the guys that are internationally. And everybody's gotten a lot better at seeing them. It's not like the old days where, you know, Henrik Zetterberg is going to be drafted 210.
Sure.
Pavel Datsyuk 171, things like that. But it's still, you know, that question, you know, like if this kid were playing in the junior ranks, and there are some foreign kids that do play in the junior ranks. There's a Russian kid that's played, you know, for a couple years. He's going to be a first-round pick this year, and actually I think he's played for Canada in international tournaments. So sometimes they come over because of that reason, but you get noticed a lot more in the draft guru realm than you do sometimes in Europe. And I think what Yzerman has done well, and I think what the Red Wings have done traditionally well, and not so much in that period where they struggled, is identify these players. So I think that somebody like Derek Lalonde, I don't think he's going to spend a lot of time on that, if any.
Okay.
You know, this is going to be a player he's going to get, even the first pick in 2 years. If the kid is really good, it might be 3 or 4. You know, it's unusual what happened with Sider and Raymond.
Okay.
And to a degree, Dylan Larkin a few years ago. So the track isn't going to be with that. And the key is, you know, with him, what he knows about the league now. The one exception is this kid named Brad Lambert, who is Finnish and Canadian, who was supposed to be, like we were having this discussion a couple years ago about the 2022 draft, one of the top three picks. He's an enormous talent. Now, it could factor in his uncle, Lane Lambert, is the coach of the Islanders.
And that's Iserman's former teammate.
Yeah,
right?
The guy who replaced Barry Trotz. So he's going to know him. You know, and this kid, to me, is an intriguing player because all they do, you know, and everything that you hear written about him is talk about what a dog he is and effort and all these things, how his instinct's so bad. And all I've ever seen is highlights of this kid looking like a jet out there and looking good. But again, I haven't seen, like, full games and watched all the different nuances. And, Evan, it's about decision-making, getting out of your own end. It's about moving the puck up the ice. It's about being in defensive position. And, you know, the great players, obviously, particularly Logan Cooley, is extraordinarily creative from the U.S. developmental program. But, you know, for the most part, it's being able to fit up to the NHL level. And who can do that when they're 22 and 23, projecting them at 18? So, and when I look at Casper, that's a player that I see that fits, you know, somebody that he's going to play in the league. At minimum, he's going to play in the league because he can defend, he can move the puck, he's got size, and he's got skating ability. The question about him finishing, you know, again, you know, it's hard to tell.
Pat, we talk about MLB, NBA, NFL, and NHL, all these drafts. What's your favorite out of the four? Because if you were to ask me, I would say hockey's got to be top two for you because you really seem genuinely excited, not only just for the Red Wings, but just the NHL draft in general.
I don't know. Probably the NFL one.
Okay, well.
Yeah, you know, I mean.
Like it's a spectacle.
Yeah, it's like the king, you know, yeah. And there's so much you can get into with it. And but I all of them are about the same to me. I don't look at them any different. You know, we talked about the NBA draft, you know, and you know, it's pretty much, you know, on that, you know, what was going to happen there with that. So they said, well, did you think it was a great draft by the Pistons? I'm like, well, I said they should take Jaden Ivey if he's there, and they did. And I said, if he's not there, take Jalen Duran, and they ended up with both of them.
Well, and then on top of it, I don't know if you remember this. You might. I definitely do. But early on in this podcast, we talked about what the Lions should do, and you mentioned Aiden Hutchinson, like, even before they played Michigan State. And people, you're crazy, you're a homer, blah, yeah, blah, blah.
I know, I remember that.
And then second overall pick, could have been the first overall pick, was Aiden Hutchinson, so I don't know how many times people have pat you on your back, but, Pat, you seem to have a good pulse on this, so it's always a fun podcast, because then when I go talk to my friends during the draft, I name these names.
Well, you know, I think, and I'd appreciate the feedback from people listening to this. You know, you can get it on Spotify, you can get it Google Play,
iTunes, our Odyssey app, of course.
Yeah, for sure.
Ticket.com.
Yeah, and like us. I don't know, have you put us up on YouTube yet?
No, we will. That's going to be coming soon, where you get to see our beautiful faces. So
on YouTube,
you might want to get your girlfriends out of the room.
Yeah,
I want them stolen by these handsome faces over here.
Yeah, I might have to get you dressed up because I was coming here ready to shoot some hoops.
You know what? And this is guys talking about what we like and in the draft, so we don't have to.
No, this isn't
SportsWorks, Pat, on Fox 2, which we see you every other Sunday or something.
Wearing
like
my suit.
Yeah, looking great. So, yeah. I'm excited for it on Thursday, Pat. It seems like you have a good grasp on what you believe they will do, what they should do, what they could do, and I'm excited.
Well, we'll see. Like I said, it depends always on who's taken ahead. And there's always surprises. You know, there's always surprises. Now, a few years ago, the Red Wings actually got burned by that because Adina wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah, wasn't he going to make all those teams pay, like, really, really bad?
And he was. And what I would tell you, too, is at some point, Eisenman's got a lot of cap space. He does right now. And he has to keep a certain amount of players. He's going to keep 50 on his roster. So at some point, he's going to have to make trades. That makes sense, not just for draft picks or doing players. And I think some of those players you might see on the move this summer. And they're definitely going to sign a goalie. And I would say for free agency, look for Johnny Klingberg and absolutely Andrew Cobb. You know, he's 27 years old from, you know, up in Shelby, you know, up in your area of the woods. Found M59 a little ways.
Yeah, Macomb County kid, huh?
Macomb County kid. Played at Michigan and played so well for the Rangers in the playoffs and late in the year after he was acquired from Winnipeg. He plays center. So everything kind of goes together with it. So that if they don't take a center, which, you know, I don't think Eisenman is going to draft for position of need, don't worry about it. He's going to figure that out, I think. But anyway, till next time, we'll be back. We'll get into the baseball draft coming up pretty soon, Evan. You always like that one.
I love that.
Yeah, we'll be breaking down Tamir Johnson soon. There you go. Talking about, Holiday's kid. A kid, man, really? His kid's playing?
Well, geez, between Andrew Jones's kid, Manny Ramirez's kid, yeah, like it seems there's one Cape Cod League team that has like five former major leaguers kids on it.
Well, you look at is that the Toronto Blue Jays? They seem to have a lot of them.
Oh, Bo Bichette.
Biggio.
And Guerrero. And who's the other one? Biggio, yep, you mentioned Biggio. It's crazy, but yeah, everybody I grew up watching now has kids that are going to be in the major leagues.
Just wait till hitting Harold Castro's kids.
Or wait until Victor Martinez's kid. That's when you're really going to feel old.
Till next time, we'll talk to you.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.